SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24-7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Scumbags! Rage!
Sports Rage with Gabe Morency.
Rage all you want.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. I am Morency.
All right, we're talking about bad takes, and I love some of you guys in our chat, but bad takes. Some bad takes, man, about Joker and Giannis and stuff and Siakam and like, oh, God. To the point, like I said, like, I don't watch cable news anymore. I used to watch cable news. I don't watch cable news anymore. It's poison for the mind. It's like, you know, some of these websites are poison. And there's a lot of stuff in social media that's like poison. But like NBA stuff is the same thing. Like, it irritates me and it makes me dumber quicker. So I'm like, no, I can't. I don't mind watching the players talk. I don't mind Kenny and those guys, Kenny and Chuck and Shaq. I like them. I like Dwayne Wade. I don't mind like when the players talk, but for the most part, you know what I'm saying? Like people in the media, like it's just bad. Like the people don't get it. Like they don't get the sport. I don't think they understand it. Like, so, like, we can say, so, like, why would the reason people would say, well, no, Giannis wouldn't be the MVP is because why? Because he won the title last year? It's sort of like LeBron. LeBron is right. Like, LeBron's like, how come, you know what I mean? I should win more MVPs. It happens to the greatest of the greats, though. It's almost a compliment. It's almost a compliment to you. Like, if you look at, like, all the great coaches, they never win Coach of the Year. Who wins Coach of the Year? Whoever some new coach is that gets a team into the playoffs. It's like, well, the guy that should be Coach of the Year is the guy that won 64 games, right? And is the defending champion. Yeah, no, but, you know. Or the other one you hear, well, he has good players. Yeah, every team has good players for the most part. That's the other stupid argument that people will come up with. Like, Giannis does stuff that hasn't been done since, like, Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. Like, pretty much on a nightly basis. Like, he's single-handed. Like, listen, all these players are great in the NBA. And NBA fans are kind of douches and whatever. They think that this guy sucks or that guy sucks. Every one of these guys are amazing. All right? You know how hard it is to be an NBA All-Star? So every one of these guys are amazing. But there's levels to this stuff. And the media and fans, they anoint players quickly, like overnight, and then they'll tear them down eventually, and then they move on after, right? And like LeBron's a good example. Like LeBron is so good, he gets taken for granted, and Giannis is in this category right now. But like I said, like Giannis single-handedly won that title for the Milwaukee Bucks. That's the definition of get on my back, right? Kawhi Leonard didn't single-handedly win the championship for the Toronto Raptors. He was on the Toronto Raptors. He helped them win. His experience helped. But he didn't single-handedly say, oh, yeah, you know what, get on my back. We're going to win because of me. He led by example. The Late Night Anger Management Class. This is Sports Rage. I am Morency, and I maintain Giannis is the best player in the NBA. I don't care about this and that and this stat and all this other crap. You want to talk about a guy that brings it on a nightly basis and plays great defense, right? Plays great defense. Blocking shots, getting rebounds, and the conditioning. Right, to me, Giannis is just—he's the best player in the NBA. Gets taken for granted because number one, he plays in Milwaukee, and number two, he doesn't talk much. Right, when he does, he smiles and he's positive and stuff. People don't like that. Right, you got to have a little bit more. You know what I mean? He's not. I think the Milwaukee thing is a big thing. I would say that because he's not American, and I think it does play into it a bit, but like I said, the media is really nice to Luka Doncic. And I think Luka Doncic is a great player, but we compared stats of Luka Doncic and Trae Young. They're the exact same. Is Trae Young amazing? No, well, Luka looks better doing it, right? I don't know. Maybe it's because Luka's got his super hot mom. I'll give him points for that. But as I stated, like, there's a perception and stuff, and Luka's great, but did Luka carry his team to the NBA Finals and win, and when they were down 2-0 to the Phoenix Suns, come back, and you know what I'm saying? Like, who did Giannis do it with? Who, Chris Middleton? Yeah, I know, because everybody thinks Chris Middleton's one of the greatest players in the league, right? Oh, Holiday? Nobody even wanted Holiday before, guys. It's easy to say, no, yeah. Who, Bobby Portis? How many teams Bobby Portis been on? All you need to know is he won with Dante DiVincenzo or whatever the hell the kid's name is. Like, that's his point guard. You know what I mean? To me, that says it all right there. Let's be real. Like, you want to talk about most valuable players. Joel Embiid is great and stuff, but what has Philadelphia ever done? And that's where I'm going with Philadelphia here is they just find ways to lose and not win. And it's always been this way. Similar when they played the Raptors and the Kawhi shot went in. Yeah, it sucked, but whatever. It's just another time that you don't win. And if you think you're going to win, because I remember I'm the one to put my hand up when everyone was like, whoa, wow, Harden. I know, because Harden's hands are covered with rings after 12-plus years in the NBA, right? I know. Nothing but championships. What, 16 years, whatever the hell?
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
You are listening to Sports Rage Late Night with Gabe Morenci.
Whoa, yeah! Yeah, let's roll. This is Sports Rage. I am Morenci. What's that, raging about the NBA right now? I'm actually getting chest pains talking about this. I'm like, oh God. Oh. So that Utah game really, I didn't enjoy that end. I didn't like that one. Didn't care for that. Didn't care for that one. Frank Vogel didn't care for tonight's game as the Lakers are now 4-13 since the All-Star break. 4-13 since the All-Star break. The wheels have completely fallen off. LeBron is injured. Street clothes is in street clothes. I think the best thing that can happen to the Lakers basically at this point is whatever, man. Listen, the best thing that would happen is you don't make the playoffs. I got to be honest with you. Like, honestly, that's the best possible thing. Like, they could happen. But they're not going to. They're not going to when it's all said and done. I'm just stating, like, what do you want to do? You're going to get in somehow and just you'll really be humiliated. Like, Phoenix will really, really, really mess them up. But they're so bad, they've actually played themselves out of this. So as it is now, Minnesota, L.A. Clippers, New Orleans, and San Antonio. That's a team I'm pulling for to get in here, the Spurs. Show some love for the Spurs, flying under the radar right now.
They play Portland twice in the end of their schedule, Gabe. Everybody, all the Laker fans here in L.A., they don't even like the Lakers right now, man. They're so angry. They don't want to make the playoffs, like you said.
Yeah, no, that's what I'm saying. It's the best thing possible here. Like, exactly. They know. They don't want. You know what I mean? Listen, even if the Lakers got into the play-in, guys, they would lose the first game. And I say this to Laker fans in a good way. This is basically like you're on death row. You're going to die. Just get it over with. You know what I mean? At this point. And I'm the type of guy of, like, I'm not a quitter at all in anything. So I'm like, hey, listen, anything can happen, man. We could win. It's like, no, you can't. You won't. You won't. Like, you're not going to. It's not happening. And, dude, like, the Lakers continue to hit new lows. Like, you remember we were raging about the Lakers a couple of weeks ago? Like, I don't do it now because no one even cares anymore. You know what I mean? What does it even get mad about? Like, at some point, you know what I mean? Like, they're 4-13 since the All-Star break. And the All-Star game feels like it was forever ago. They've won four times since. So you can't say, well, LeBron wasn't there. Well, whatever, dude. LeBron's been there a lot. He puts up his numbers because that's all he cares about. And that's what he's there for now. He doesn't even hide it. You know what I mean? He just wants to win the scoring title. Remember earlier this year, the Lakers? It was against Phoenix. They gave up more points in the first quarter since in the shot clock era, the most points since they had the shot clock. Tonight, the Lakers gave up 82 points in the first half. It's the most points allowed in the first half since the Lakers moved to L.A. Think about that. So this year alone, in the last 2 months alone, and LeBron played in that Phoenix game. So, it happens all the time. Anyone that watches the Lakers, how many times have the Lakers been down 40-12, 33-10, or whatever the hell? Like the first quarters, they get murdered every night. Frank Vogel won't quit. He's given up. He's not going to quit. He wants to get paid. He wants to get fired. You're going to let him get fired and he didn't pay me, and I'll go somewhere else and coach. But the Lakers gave up 82 points. The most points allowed in the first half by the Lakers since they moved to L.A. from Minneapolis. That's not good. And what's the excuse? Well, LeBron's not there and AD's not there, so what? You have a basketball team predicated on two guys not being there? Look at the Clippers. Kawhi's not there. Paul George hasn't been there. What do? They compete. They go out there and they battle. They don't win every night, but they compete and battle. The Lakers are just, they stand around and watch LeBron do his thing. They're a terrible team. They're a terribly constructed team. Anybody that thought this team was going to be good is a moron. And, you know, like, really, as I said, like, and this includes, like, what Russell Westbrook and LeBron, I said, and it's a note to every other NBA player in the future, all right? Next time you're at a barbecue together, smoking blunts, and you're getting along, doesn't mean you got to play on the same team, all right? It means you should get together and smoke blunts and go to barbecues together. It's a big difference. Hey, ask James Harden and Durant about that, and Kyrie about that. All right, ask, you know, Durant already knew Harden, but look at Kyrie and Harden, right? They basically both said, I didn't ask for this, right? Like, when Kyrie went there, it was supposed to be him and KD. They didn't sign Harden. Harden got traded there, right? Like, he didn't ask for that. Like, there's a lot of ego in the NBA, and everyone gets along at the All-Star game, and, oh, it was fun playing together at the All-Star game or whatever. Hey, that was cool. We were on the U.S. Olympic team together when we won the gold medal, you know? And then there's another deal when it's like, I got to deal with this guy suddenly? It's like musicians in bands. It's all cool. I'd be cool to have this guy in our band. Yeah, until you hang out with the guy for a weekend or a week and you go on tour with the guy, and then you realize this is a big mistake. All right? Like, there's something to that. Like, everybody's to blame. Everybody's. The Lakers brass for letting it happen, whatever. Palinka's like, you know, and the Lakers are tough. Any team LeBron is on, it's difficult to gauge. Because I'm not going to do what a lot of people do and just rip everybody else except him. Because if anybody thinks that any move has been made on the Los Angeles Lakers since LeBron has arrived without his approval, then you know what? I was coming up with thinking of a good analogy. Best one I came up with is, like, I have some used condoms to sell you. But I thought, nah, that's not good. But I'm honestly telling you what it popped in my mind, Matthias. I don't like the bridge. Oh, I got a bridge in Brooklyn. Because do you want to buy any used condoms? No. Right? That's the whole point.
No, hell no. I would never do that.
It's a good analogy then, right? Like, no. Like, you don't.
See? I was waiting for what you were going to come up with. When you said, what was that analogy? I'm like, oh, what's he going to say?
I figured, like I said, sometimes it happens to me where I think of something, and it's like, nah, I can't say that on radio or TV. I'm on TV here. But, yeah, that's, you know, just that's safe enough. I was just thinking, you know, something about somebody, people, you know, you don't want to buy. Ain't nobody's buying a Laker right now. But, you know, like I said, like, LeBron does this everywhere he goes. He did this in Cleveland, man. They won the title in Cleveland, And then he tells them, oh, listen, you got to hook Tristan up, man. You got to hook Tristan up. You got to hook Kevin up. You got to hook this guy up. I don't want to play with these young guys. Trade these guys away. Let's sign Rondo. Let's get this old guy in here. And then when it sucks, he leaves. And then he has that little crutch. Wow, look at the stiffs he's playing with. Yeah. Do you think the Cavaliers were in a hurry to give Tristan Thompson that big money? No. LeBron James forced them to do it. You think the Kevin Love stuff? I could go on. You know, LeBron made the Miami Heat draft Napier out of UConn, and then he split 3 days later. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is what he does. Like, he deserves it, too. Like, anybody, like I said, I don't bash LeBron much anymore. I used to, like, you know, he used to upset me more, but like, whatever. He's a great player, and I don't think he's a bad person in real life. But his basketball persona, like, does anyone serious? Like I said, I got some used condoms for you if you want them. Because do you really believe that when Dave Bliss got fired in Cleveland that he had nothing to do with it and he didn't know? Yeah, because the Cleveland Cavaliers fired their coach without telling LeBron James, right? And LeBron said with a straight face, I found out when y'all did. Yeah. Yeah. And John Gotti doesn't know where the bodies are. Come on. And people buy this stuff, right? Oh, yeah, look at the roster. So, like I said, throw Pelinka under the bus all you want. This ain't Vogel's fault. Throw Pelinka under the bus all you want. Yeah, like it was Pelinka's idea to sign Westbrook. Let's be real. He's the king. Great player, bad general manager. This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
What we thought they were. We played them in preseason. Who the hell takes a third game in a preseason like us? Bull. We played them in the third game. Everybody played three quarters. The Bears are who we thought they were. And that's why we took the damn field. Now, if you want to crown them, then crown their ass. But they are who we thought they were. And we let them off the hook.
You think you win, but you won't. You think I lose, but I don't.
The late night anger management class. I'm dying here. Candace Parker just played Shaq in that video basketball. And she just dunked on his ass. And Shaq's like, Shaq video, Shaq went tumbling back. She literally like came flying in and dunked it. He went tumbling back. And Shaq just walked off the set in shame. Like, she's laughing her ass off. Dwayne Wade's laughing his ass off. And Shaq's got straight face. He just gets up and walks away. Too good. Too good. They had to, I don't know, they had to have set that up. There's no way in hell, like, it was just too perfect. Like, she would be able to just pull off that dunk. They definitely played that. That had to be done. It was too good. It was too good. Because they're playing and Shaq's swatting the ball and stuff. And she's trying to hit shots. It was like 6-0 Shaq or whatever. Shaq was out to the lead. And she comes flying in. It was too good, man. The Shaq, I swear to God, when I saw it, I was like, oh, my God. Shaq, like, in the video, it's realistic looking, too. He tumbled over his head backwards. And then they cut, like, you can see their faces while they were playing the game. And Shaq's like, what? Shaq was not pleased. That was serious gold right there. Good stuff. I wanted to talk about that. Like, you know, for people to watch these hockey shows, and I think, you know what, the TNT, they're doing a good job with the hockey. They're loose. And Wayne Gretzky's a lot looser than I thought he was going to be, so they're doing good. But a lot of the hockey guys, it's more like the hockey insider guys, you know, the Dreggers and the McKenzies and the LeBruns and all these guys. Oh, LeBron's pretty chill. At least he smiles a bit. The Chris Johnson dude, like, all of them, like all the hockey, like they all have such a serious look on their face all the time. And same thing, like hockey executives, right? They show Shanahan up in the press box at the Leaf game. He always looks like he's waiting whether his mother's going to get through surgery or not. It's like, bro, you're the GM of a hockey team. It's a hockey game, bro. Chill out. You know what I mean? It won't kill you to smile. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, there's the uptightness of it. And you watch these hockey shows during the intermissions and stuff. And, you know, Kevin Bieksa tries to crack a joke. Everyone sort of gives him a look like, hey, you know, it's a little edgy, and you know what I mean? And they all sit, like, so straight. They all have their suits. Well, Gino, I hear that the Arizona Coyotes are going to trade all their third and fourth line players because they suck. Right? And they have this look like honestly, like, I've seen, like, Zelensky in Ukraine looks less tense than some of these hockey people do, like, doing interviews. This guy's got a hit from, like, the Chechenian mercenary on his head, and he's doing interviews, and he's, like, smiling. He's like, yeah, you know, he's cracky, he's talking, he's got a personality. You know what I'm talking about, the hockey guys? They're all so stiff. Well, I hear the Toronto Maple Leafs are going to be inquiring and looking to see if they can get a backup goaltender, but it's going to be difficult because of the contracts. And it's like, dude, do you got to take a dump? Are you all right? Yeah, can you ease up a bit? Say, hey, man, the Leafs, hey, like, they hate that stuff. That's why I've never been on that hockey media stuff. Like, I'm the opposite of, like, I can't do their little thing. It's the worst. So my point is, watch, like, the post-game show of, like, Hockey Night in Canada, or the post-game show of, like, a, you know, the Rangers, all right, or the Red Wings. And you're going to see, well, they didn't play on a power play, right? They're all sort of stiff. And then the second the camera's off, they all slam beers and they're all different, right? And then compare it to the NBA guys, where you got Kenny and Shaq and Charles Barkley, like, seriously, like, cracking things up and, like, funny-ass stuff. Candace Parker right here right now playing Shaq in a video game after the game. They're not all tense. Well, the Pelicans are now in eighth place, and, oh, it's going to be... You know what I mean? No, they're having fun. Like I said, they're all like, they've been laughing the whole time, right? They're having fun. That's why I think with the hockey people, ease up, man. Ease up, man. That's another thing. Like, just ease up. Nobody cares about your stupid insider hockey trade rumors, okay? It's amazing. People do care. They got like 3 million followers on Twitter and stuff. So then they think they're important. So it's a bunch of dumbass hockey fans. It's your fault. You're the ones that are boosting these loser ego guys up. When they're really nobodies. Nobody knows who the hell these people are, but they got like 1.8 million followers on Twitter because whatever. You guys are jonesing to find out that some loser on the Coyotes got traded. Thea said earlier that I was a little salty tonight. It was a good... you know, it's funny, too. I've been meaning to get to just some stats and stuff, but I keep just bitching about things, so... I figured if I've gone this far, why stop now? I've been doing it for 20 years. It's been work. It's worked for 20 years. Yeah, it's worked for 20 years, right? So
I'm actually happy that you missed the last, you know, the choke job by Donovan Mitchell at the end. He pulled a Chris Webber. He called a timeout when he had no timeouts left when they were down four. I was ready for you to rip him. I think you missed it.
You know what? I was just so upset about the entire collapse that the game was already done then. That was why I didn't, like, I was sort of, and we had Merrill on and everything. And another thing is, I don't like talking about the Chris Webber timeout either, Matthias. So you shouldn't either. You just made me in a worse mood right now.
Well, hey, I honestly can't remember the last time I saw an NBA player do that, to tell you the truth.
What do you mean? It happens. And no one knows how many timeouts there is ever. Who cares? It's a stupid NBA game. They were losing by five anyways at the time. They were losing by four, right, when they did it? Four or five?
Yeah, exactly. Four-point game 10 seconds ago.
Yeah, so. Come on, Matthias. It's not the biggest deal in the world. You know what I mean? They were losing.
Yeah, you were raging at that point. I think it was like a perfect, you know, last stab to the wound. And I was like, oh, man, this is going to get a good promo for me.
No. They had already lost. They had already lost. I'm going to start raging about our video feed. I can rage about that. I got bigger problems than Donovan Mitchell calling a timeout. I don't care about that. I don't care. But, you know, like I said, like the NBA stuff, like these shows are at least fun. That's the whole point. Sports shows are supposed to be fun. I hate, like, the uptight stuff. And I'm not saying, you know, you got to be a clown and a joker, right? And, you know, there's something for everybody. I get it, but... Man, like some of these, like the highlight shows and stuff like that. It's like, do you guys know it's 2022 and like no one wants to see these people in suits and just looking all uptight? Like, look at Pat McAfee, biggest guy in the business. The guy's wearing a, you know what I mean? He's wearing a shirt. And somebody asked him, why do you only wear that shirt? And he goes, because one day I wanted to show that, you know, you don't need to wear a suit and all this stuff. And bang on, right? I remember years ago, I was on the Score Television Network. And I was the only one. I would wear like a football jersey on the air. It was unheard of 20 years ago. Unheard of. Nobody did it. And I didn't, you know what I mean? I put on, I remember that first, whatever, I was on TV for the first time I was on TV, I was on like MMA stuff. And I wore a blazer and all this stuff, and I looked like an idiot. And it wasn't me. You know what I mean? It wasn't me. And I know I now I can pull it off and stuff, but I'm just saying, like, I sort of, now I'm on TV, you know what I mean? I was like, nah, that's not me. And then I'm like, man, I'm doing MMA, man. Like, these guys, like, I don't need to be, like, dressed like this. And then after on TV, whatever, I just sort of said, screw it. I'm going to dress the way that I dress in real life on TV, and we'll see what happens. And I was told you can't do it. People won't give you credibility because you're just wearing a jersey. You got to be wearing a suit. You're just wearing, you know what I mean? Like, they used to bother them. You're wearing a Buffalo Bills jersey, and you're talking about the NFL. You can't have credibility then. And I said, oh, yeah, I know, because I lose all cred because I'm a fan of a team, right? And I said, that's who our viewers are. And it was the same thing. We were talking about gambling on the air 20 years ago. And they're, oh, you can't do it. Oh, that's too much. Well, where are we at now? Biggest things in the business are Barstool. I don't think suits matter at Barstool, do they? Suits matter over the Pat McAfee show? Like, these idiots don't get it. Now all these mainstream networks, they're all into gambling and stuff now, right? Now everybody's basically ripping me off. That's what I'm getting at. let the rage continue. Everybody's ripping me off. And I'm not just saying it, like, point blank. Shout out to covers.com, the website Covers. Man, we were doing a show with Covers on national television 20 years ago. Gambling, betting. On Sirius and on national TV, point spreads, in-game, all that stuff, right? And credit to John Levy, who owned the Score at the time. He was for it, too. And I can tell you guys an inside story, too. David Stern was the commissioner still, and Stern did not like gambling. Stern was anti-gambling. And Stern, the NBA was on the Score. And Stern said, listen, I love you guys, but he goes, your point spreads really piss me off. Because we used to put point spreads up on the screen on a ticker, right? No one did that years ago. And it was unheard of. And he said, I really don't like it. And Stern got up and walked out. And all the other owners, there were like six other owners, told the guys at the Score, listen, Stern's retiring in 2 years, and we all love gambling, so keep it up. And here we are right now. Here we are now. Oh, yeah, because sports leagues hate gambling now, right? This is Sports Rage. Bring it.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Continues. I am Gable Morenci, breaking it down. SiriusXM Channel 159, a mightier 1090 ESPN Radio, the 50,000-watt juggernaut, the loudest station in the nation. Let's do this thing. Countdown to tip-off is on. Let's bring in a man that's been breaking it down all tournament long, all season long, on Westwood One Radio. Ryan Ratke joins us, play-by-play man. Ryan Ratke, Westwood One Radio Sports. Ryan, it's always a pleasure, my man. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
My pleasure, Gabe. Anytime.
So, Ryan, the term big game, as big as it gets, I think those terms get tossed around pretty loosely in our industry. But when we're talking about North Carolina and Duke in a Final Four in Coach K's last dance, it really is a big game, and it really is as big as it gets, isn't it? I mean, it's just, there's more storylines than a Young and the Restless about this basketball game.
Well, you got that right. I mean, you know, the fact that Coach K and Duke are here just on its own would be a fantastic story. Line, but then to look across the bracket and see their arch rival, North Carolina, the ones they played in Coach K's final game at Cameron and ruin that day for all of the Duke fans, To see that matchup again, I mean, there's no way you could script this, right? This is one of those that if you saw it in a movie, you'd say, this is so stupid. This would never happen in real life. And yet, here we are, you know, two teams that look like they probably had no chance to get here. I mean, despite the fact Duke being a two seed, didn't seem like they were playing that well going into the tournament and had a couple of close calls throughout the tournament, but have found ways to win. And, you know, obviously Carolina is an eight seed. You really never expect one of those teams to end up in the Final Four. But here they are seemingly playing their best basketball of the year. And, you know, now we get to see it again after Carolina had beaten Duke and ended Coach K's regular season. I'm sure they all felt like that was going to be a nice little cherry on top of the sundae. And now they get to see him again and see if they can do it again. So this is, as you said, it's as good as it gets for an NCAA tournament.
You know, we see in boxing, and there's a saying in boxing, you know, with an older boxer that sometimes, you know, they aged a year in between rounds, right? In one fight, it's like, oh wow, they're starting to look old here. It's almost the polar opposite with the Duke Blue Devils, in the sense of which it's hard to say that, you know, players as good as they are growing before our eyes, but this team, it's almost like a growth spurt, isn't it? Like, they got to the tournament, and then they found themselves. They found that mental toughness that they didn't have earlier in the year, and they found that against Michigan State, and they talked about it openly. They said it was gut check time for us, and you could tell they carried that swagger over right now. I mean, this is a team that is getting better with each game, which that's what you want as a coach.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, everybody talks about wanting to peak and play your best this time of year. And, you know, certainly Duke has done that when it's mattered most. I mean, in the last 5 minutes of games, for whatever reason, a team that had basically no tournament experience coming into this year, has obviously some key freshmen. They have figured out ways to get it done against both Michigan State. I mean, obviously, you know, that one, it really looked like they were in some trouble against Michigan State. And then for them to come back and win that game and then do it again against a Texas Tech team that, if you look at the metrics, is as good defensively as anyone in the nation, and to go out and shoot, you know, 71% in the second half against Texas Tech, and in the last couple of minutes come up with all those big plays. And then, you know, again against Arkansas there, it was kind of a push before halftime, and then Arkansas makes a run in the second half, gets it down to five, and suddenly Duke comes right back, 10-0 run, pushes it out to 15. It has been amazing to watch them grow up, and I think that's one of the reasons we've seen such emotion from Mike Krzyzewski about his team. You know, talking to him last week in San Francisco, he kept referencing that. You know, it's one of the rewarding parts of the job, right, as a coach, that you see kids develop, you watch them grow. And he's seen his team grow just in the last couple of weeks, and he's having a lot of fun with this group. They're playing really well right now, and I mean, you know, maybe poised to write a very, very special ending to this book.
Westwood One Radio's Ryan Radke with us on Sports Rage Late Night. And it's hard to call North Carolina a Cinderella, but technically they kind of are, in a sense. I mean, we're, you know, if there was anyone else that was an eight seed, it would be a bigger story, right? And I think you look at North Carolina and all the talk about Coach K. I saw an interview with Coach Davis before the St. Peter's game, and he was asked, well, what a great story St. Peter's is. They've really surprised people and come up with some big wins. And he cut her off and said, so have we. Right? So have we. And this is, you know, some people didn't want Coach Davis to get the job. They were on the bubble. They lose to Pitt in mid-February. This is a team with a chip on their shoulder as well that's selling. Listen, nobody believes in us. And it's amazing, isn't it? You want to talk about just the irony and everything of Duke and North Carolina never playing each other in a tournament. This is the first time. But that Hubert Davis finds himself in year one going against Coach K in the last ever game at Cameron, and now the first time ever playing in the tournament. I think Hubert Davis, I think he's got a chip on his shoulder because it's all about St. Peter's. It's all about Coach K all the time. I think he's saying, what about us? And I think he's selling that to his kids as well.
Yeah, I don't think there's any doubt about it, Gabe. I mean, you know, some coaches seem to thrive in those situations. I just watched Eric Musselman for the last couple of days at every possible opportunity tell everyone in America, no one respects us, no one's giving us a chance, we have no possible way of winning these games. And I guarantee you, he wasn't just selling it to us in the media. He was telling his team that behind closed doors. Nobody respects you. Nobody's giving you a chance. Nobody wants you to win these games. You're going to ruin it if you win these games. And they use that as motivation. I'm sure Hubert Davis is doing the same thing. You know, I mean, he talked a couple of weeks ago about how he wanted guys that wanted to fight, and you saw them get into the physical game with Baylor and come out on top despite blowing a late lead. You've seen, you referenced the St. Peter stuff where everybody's talking about, boy, St. Peter's, what a great story, what a great story. And him saying, I don't care about their great story, essentially. I'm worried about my story. You know, and so I think there are people that thrive in those situations, and it seems like, from the outside looking in, that Hubert Davis is one of those guys, and that his team is one of those teams that they like to have that kind of chip on their shoulder. And so, yeah, I'm sure going into the game, he'll be telling his guys, hey, everybody in America wants Duke to win. Everybody wants Coach K to cut down the nets. We ruined it for him once. Let's go ruin it for him again.
Can you imagine? It's going to haunt. I said it earlier in the week. It's crazy for a coach that's won five championships, but we see like Michael Jordan in The Last Dance years later. I took that personally. He said we could have won more, and it bothered him. You know Coach K, it'll just kill him. Like losing to North Carolina in the last game. I mean, the dislike is real. I don't like the word hate. The dislike is real. You know, we saw what happened in the handshake line after the game. Fortunately, it wasn't like Michigan and Wisconsin, but that's another story. Listen, I don't want to sell the other game short either. So any final thoughts on this game before we talk about Kansas and Villanova?
No, I mean, I think it's going to be great, and I think you're right. I mean, we talked about Hubert Davis, the chip on his shoulder. I'm sure that Coach K is going to also remind his guys, let's not forget about what happened at Cameron, that last game, you know, when they took it to us in the second half. And, you know, he's a guy that also prides himself on having tough physical basketball teams, and so I'm sure that'll come up. It won't be just Carolina that's walking in with a chip. Duke's going to try to have that chip on their shoulder, too, I think.
I got. Literally, I'm not exaggerating. The hair is standing on my arm right now. I'm like, let's do this. Let's go. This is going to be great. And, you know, so we talk about the Blue Bloods that are here. And, you know, if you want to add UCLA and stuff, you'd have more championships. But the pedigree of these programs is just, it's historic. And you get Kansas and Villanova. It's a shame that Villanova have to deal with the injuries that they have to deal with right now. And I think the loss of Moore is just going to be massive for them. But Samuels is great. Gillespie is just the definition of a great college basketball player. I think Kansas is just going to be a little bit too much for them, but you can never undersell Jay Wright. This is just going to be a great game. And what stands out to me, Ryan, I want to get your take on just about Villanova is it goes to show how important free throws are. I mean, you know, hey, look, guys, we shot 28%. We won the game. We went 15-15 from the line. You look at the Michigan game. They were good. They weren't great. Michigan went 7-14 from the free throw line. They shot worse than Shaquille O'Neal's 52.7% career percentage. Free throws. It can make up. Like, I don't understand why coaches don't get this. It can actually make up for a few of your deficiencies on the court because they're points you're not leaving on the floor, Ryan.
Yeah, there's no doubt. I mean, two examples of that game that jumped to my mind right away. One, it almost cost Gonzaga in the second round against Memphis when they had a horrific free throw shooting game, and it almost came back to bite them. Fortunately, they turned it on and played like the number one team in the country and won that game. The other one that comes to mind for me is the Arkansas team that went all the way to the Elite Eight. If you look at Arkansas's offensive numbers, they're not good. They weren't a good shooting team. They were a horrific three-point shooting team, but what do? They locked people up defensively, and they got to the foul line more than anybody in the country. You're absolutely right. It can make a huge difference and can cover up some deficiencies you might have in other areas of the game. So those are big. I mean, you have one of those games where you go 15-15 or 19-20 at the foul line, 23-25, something like that. It can absolutely cover up and help you win games like this.
I'm not taking anything away from Coach Wright and what the Cats have accomplished, but they had favorable matchups that they could deal with, and now they're shorthanded. This Kansas team's deep, man. You know what I mean? Like these other teams, I mean, North Carolina are top-heavy, you know, with Love, Baycott, and Manic. You know, Duke are a little top-heavy, although they're a little deeper, but Kansas are deep. They're like an NBA team. They play everybody.
Yeah, and the funny thing about Kansas is, you know, just as the tournament has gone on and you sit around before these games, you talk with people, the one thing you kept hearing about Kansas is this might be Bill Self's least talented team in a long time in terms of, you know, lottery picks and future NBA guys. It's just not the same. But the one thing they do have
might be his best team in a long time, though, ironically enough.
Right, exactly. Yeah, I mean, you just have a lot of solid guys that can play. And you know, so he's done that. He's obviously a terrific coach. I mean, all these coaches are great, right? You get to this point of the year. You talk about Jay Wright. He's phenomenal. Bill Self's done a great job. You know,
some of the best of all time.
Job for his team. Yeah.
But let me ask you, because we got about a minute and a half, two left here, and I really appreciate your time. But, you know, there's always the coach, like you brought up Gonzaga, so like Coach Few's going to have that. It just is what it is. Well, he hasn't won, right? It's just that he's got to win. Bill Self almost has that around him, even though he's won. Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think he needs to win again to say, you know, hey, listen, guys, I'm one of the greatest coaches too, guys, right? I mean, look, Coach K's been around 47 years, won 5 times, Ryan. People just don't get it, right? It's not that easy to win. It's not, we're not John Wood. It's not, you know, not everyone's going to win 11 times. They don't get it. I think Bill Self is a great coach, but it'd just be massive to add another championship to his legacy, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I think he's already a Hall of Famer, but, you know, there's no doubt. I mean, it would be great for him personally to add that on to the resume. I think in this tournament there's been so much focus on Coach K, and understandably so. I think that spotlight is only going to magnify at the Final Four, because that would obviously be the biggest story for Coach K to ride off into the sunset with a championship. I think that tends to overshadow almost everything else. But, I mean, again, Jay Wright, as good as it gets in the business, you talk to coaches, the guys that are actually doing it, and they're the ones that tell you how good Jay Wright is at the stuff that he does, what Bill Self has done over his career. I mean, it's fun when you get to this time of the year and you have, you know, not only the great players, but you have the great coaches on the sideline. It should be a fantastic Final Four. I'm really looking forward to it.
You know, there's some coaches that are just college guys. It's like, nah, I'm a college guy. And I know, you know, Kobe always talked about wanting to play for Coach K. But I always thought Jay Wright's the type of guy that he's so good. And he just is his schemes, the way he gets along with players, that he really would be a great NBA coach as well. So we'll get you out of here. You know, I don't like asking you do the game, so I don't like asking you who you like and stuff, but I'll just throw it out there. I do think it's going to end up being Kansas and Duke on Monday. Who's going to win? I don't know. A hell of a game. But that's who I got playing on Monday.
Yeah, I don't really disagree with that. I mean, you mentioned the injury to Moore for Villanova, and that's unfortunate that they have to deal with that. You feel horrible for him, and you feel horrible for their team. You know, it probably gives Kansas an edge in that game. And, you know, maybe I'm a little biased because I just watched Duke play up close and personal the last couple of games. But I think they are playing as well as anybody. I think their confidence is at sky high right now. Eric Musselman said after the Elite Eight game, I'd be shocked if they're not playing for a national championship. No disrespect to North Carolina, no disrespect to Hubert Davis. I'm kind of with Muss on that. I'd be shocked if Duke's not in the game on Monday night.
Ryan Radke. Ryan, it's always a pleasure, sir. Thanks a lot for taking the time to be with us.
All right, Gabe, have a great one.
SportsGrid.com. Betting insights and entertainment at your fingertips 24/7 as our team covers the most important topics in sports wagering. Real-time odds, predictive betting models, expert picks, and more. Want the edge? Then get on the grid. SportsGrid.com.
Late Night Anger Management Class, this is Sports Rage. Great stuff with Ryan Radke, always a pleasure. Great great radio voice, great pipes. That's why he's a play-by-play man. Great stuff over Ryan Radke. We're excited about this this Final Four. And in fact, I was supposed to go to an MLS soccer game. I don't like, you know what I mean, like TV's too, you know, TV is too dominant in people's lives as it is, right? We're between games and computers. We're just staring at screens all the time. So I like to get out and actually go to some games as well. And, you know, there's something about it, too. You're always going to be missing something, right? It's always going to be like, oh, man, if I go to this game, I'm going to miss that. That's why people don't like going to NFL games on Sundays, right? Oh, I'm going to miss this. I'm going to miss that. So I don't like being that guy. But this Saturday is a little different. It's Coach K. It could be Coach K's last game. And this is the type of stuff when we're all on our deathbeds, we're going to look back. You're going to regret a couple of things, people. Three things you're all going to have regrets in life. Number one, all the money you lost and the regrets of the bad beats and losses. Number two, all the sports that you watched. Number three, hey man, you spent a lot of time watching Sports Rage and listening to Sports Rage. But we appreciate it. Hey, you can be listening outdoors, though, and doing stuff, right? But I said it before, like, that's going to be one of my things. I try not to live with regrets. I'm pretty good at that. But it's the one thing that's going to definitely cross my mind. I'm going to think, damn, man, I spent a lot of time watching MAC football on Tuesday and Wednesday nights. Those are hours I'm never getting back. But it's North Carolina and Duke in the Final Four. The MLS can wait. Bring it.